Thanks, Mary. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you open our hearts and our minds and help us to hear you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Greatness. I don't know what comes to mind when you think of that term. Perhaps actually it could be a great athlete in whatever sport that you follow. Not English rugby at the moment. Perhaps it's some sort of explorer, or perhaps it's a military commander, or a world leader, or perhaps an artist or a musician. I don't know what you think of when you think of what is the word greatness, and why is there considered to be great? If you look at all of those, it's all of their sort of, you know, heroics and their achievements in some ways. This is exactly the issue that Jesus' disciples were wrestling with. So the chapter before, chapter 10, that Mary hadn't read, we didn't ask her to, you'll find a story about James and John, who were the two of Jesus' closest followers, who came to Jesus with a special request. And the special request was, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other one at your left in your glory." That's what they asked. What are they really saying? They're saying, "We recognize you're great, and we also want to be great. We want a place of honor, and we want a place of glory. We want to be associated with you in such a way that we'll be recognized." This is what we call a teachable moment. And Jesus did what he always does and took it in completely. If you look at verses 43 and 44, which say this, Jesus said, "Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all." So James and John come with a, what is greatness? And I think greatness is about association with you, with sitting to your right and sitting to your left. And Jesus says, actually, the kingdom of God works completely differently. Whoever would be great, whoever would lead a life of significance, must actually be a servant, not somebody who lords it over all. There are six words in the New Testament that are translated to mean servant. And the one here that Jesus is using means waiter. Literally, somebody who comes and humbles themselves and takes cares of other people's needs by meeting them where they are. And then if that wasn't enough, Jesus then rams it home by the use of the word slave. This is a contradiction in terms. This doesn't fit. Why is it greatness? Greatness for being a servant and being a slave. Well, what's that to do with greatness? This is a contradiction in terms. The way of life that Jesus is talking about here in this passage, he's saying, "I didn't come to serve, but to be served, but to serve and to pay a price." In the ancient world, you could free a slave by paying money, and they would be free. And so Jesus, as this starts the beginning of his journey from here to the cross, where he would pay the price for our freedom from slavery to sin and death. The idea of servanthood is key when we think of the passage we're looking at today. Because it actually helps us to put into perspective entirely what's going on as he comes into Jerusalem to the crowds cheering. Because that looks like greatness, but that looks like because it's about adoration. So it was the time of year for the Passover. And as you know, it's a custom for Jews to travel pilgrimage to Jerusalem to observe days like the Passover. Even though it was the custom, not as many went as could, because Jerusalem was, it's a city on a hill, it's quite a long journey, and the streets are very narrow, and you just couldn't afford to go. So instead of that, people used to line the streets on the road to Jerusalem, cheering as the pilgrims would go through. And undoubtedly, Jesus and the disciples were following a bunch of other people who were all heading in the same place. This wasn't by them by themselves. They'd been with other people. And there'd been people around them who would have actually been sort of, you know, looking forward to traveling, and those who were looking forward to actually praying a blessing over them. And as they approach Jerusalem, Jesus gives them a very, very odd set of commands. Weird in some ways. Because what he says is, he instructs a couple of them to go to this house and find a donkey that had never been ridden. It says, they brought a donkey to Jesus and threw the coats on it and he sat on it. Jesus, the story then describes Jesus riding down from the Mount of Olives, down into the Kidron Valley, and then up and out into Jerusalem with thousands who are celebrating the Passover in Jerusalem. And as they approached, the cry went up that Jesus was coming, the promised Messiah. But he rode on a donkey. And people lay the cloaks down in front of him and wave palm branches or bits of laurel tree, as Mark has given us. And they were shouting as he went. So they were shouting this. They were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." They were all getting very excited because they could see their king. They were projecting him to greatness. But they didn't understand the story. They didn't understand the meaning. They didn't understand the significance. The key detail of this story is the type of animal that Jesus was riding. A conquering king went into a city riding a horse. In fact, if you go to Revelation, which we've been looking at in the evening service, the horse they would ride would be a white horse, which was the Roman and also the Greek sort of tradition of riding in on this white horse to say, "Look, I have done it." And actually, there is imagery there of Jesus when he comes again and will ride a white horse to say, "I have come and I have done it and I have the victory." But he's not riding a white horse, he's riding a donkey. A great king, a great hero, would not ride in on a donkey. It is the only place that Jesus' interaction with a donkey is mentioned. Sorry to burst your bubble about Christmas. There was no donkey. But here, he's riding in on this donkey because he was coming in peace, not in war. He wasn't coming as a conquering hero. He wasn't coming as a military king. He wasn't coming as a great military ruler. He was coming to give peace, compassion, and humility. Not to get rid of the Romans, but to free everybody. It's picked up within a prophecy. So this week, as we run into Easter, series of prophecies from the Old Testament, one after another, and today's prophecies, it comes from Zechariah 9. Zechariah 9 was written 500 years before, and it said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king come to you, riding righteous and having salvation, gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." It also links to another descriptor of him in Isaiah 53 as the suffering servant. So this is foretold that Jesus would, this is what it would be like. This is one more of the example that this king came to be great, but the great must serve. It's not about conquering, it's not about ruling, it's not about kicking out the oppressors. It's a message to those who were standing there waving the palm branches, saying, "Yes, he is coming to be the king of the Jews, but not the way that you think he's coming or want him to come. Because you want somebody to be like David to come in and rule." But he was coming for more than that. He was coming for something greater. He was coming to free them and everybody else from the slavery of sin and eternal separation from God. Not salvation from the Romans or any other oppressor, but salvation and freedom from sin and judgment and eternal separation. This is what the compassionate servant king looks like. He was riding a donkey to his death. He was riding the donkey to then his resurrection, to show the world what true greatness looks like, because greatness is seen through his service, his sacrificial nature, his humility, and loving us by dying for us. So this Easter, who do you see riding into Jerusalem? Who do you see on the donkey? Do you see a great religious leader who started a movement that 2,000 years later we are sitting in a church because of that? Is that what you see? Or do you see a great moral teacher? Somebody who just really wanted people to sort of live well together and get on and be nice? Or perhaps you see a great historical figure who's interesting as a historical figure, but no greater than any other historical figure, and not very relevant to me now? Or do you see a great servant, a great king, who is prepared to suffer and die so that we could be made right with God? Who do you see this Palm Sunday? It's a choice we have before us. Who do you say that this man on a donkey, who will soon hang on a cross and then rise from the grave, is? Can you say that he's Lord and Saviour? Well, if you can, how does that affect you this week? How does that change the way you live? How do you show servant-heartedness to the world around us? Because if greatness is in about our ability to serve others and humility, what does that look like in mine and your life? This week, this month, this year, for the rest of our lives. If you don't know him, and you can't answer the questions because you think, actually, I think, yes, he's a historical figure, that's quite, you know, that's fact, and yes, he did start a big movement, and he was a good moral teacher, but I don't really know exactly who he is. Do I think he's the Son of God? I'm not sure. Then I invite you this Easter to travel with us. Follow the donkey. Follow the donkey through Jerusalem. Follow Jesus into the upper room. Follow Jesus into the Garden of Gethsemane. Follow Jesus onto the hill of Golgotha. Follow Jesus to the tomb, and then follow him to his resurrection. Journey with us over the next week and figure it out for yourself who the man on the donkey is. Hymn writers are amazing, and in the hymn Ride On in Majesty, it puts it like this: Ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. O Christ, your triumph now begins, captive death and conquered sins. Ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. Bow your meek head in mortal pain, then take, O God, your power and reign. Is this the descriptor on the man on the donkey who is riding to die, to conquer sin, and then rise in power and reign forever? Do you know this man? Do you know this greatness? Do you know the person we're talking about? If you do, how is it going to change you? If you don't, what are you going to do? Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the start of this journey where Jesus said, what is true greatness? To live and die for others, to sacrifice themselves. Father, we thank you for Jesus' example. Thank you for his sacrifice on the cross. And Lord, help us this week to work out who we think this man is and what difference he makes in our lives. Help us to be brave enough to follow true greatness. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.